Hey, I want to welcome you to Elevation. You've already been welcomed, but if you don't know me, my name is Lachlan. I'm the pastor of our Tweed location. Anyone been to the Tweed location here? So God lives at Tweed. So I'm just going to bring God to... No, I'm only kidding. But it's a great honor and privilege to be here this morning. And I'm going to preach a message. This is the third time I've preached it this morning. I have much respect for Ross doing this milk run every single week, running between the services. But I'm going to preach a message. You've got to fight for your right. What do you think I'm going to say? I heard someone say it. That's the first thing that filled your mind. Don't lie. Don't sit here and try and be all religious and be like, I don't know what that song is. Just in case you don't, I'm going to play it right now because it's going to fire a few of us up. Let's listen to the 1986 Beastie Boys song.
You got to fight for your right.
All right, we can stop it there. Does anyone sit there and be like, that's true. That's true. I need to fight for my right to party. Well, the title of my message is a little bit different, and it might not sound quite as cool as that when I reveal it, but it's you've got to fight for your right to community. I expected that response. I wasn't expecting a woo, because it just doesn't sound as cool. So when I've been writing this message this week, that song has been playing in my head nonstop. You've got to fight. And I'm just like, I'm so sick of it. So instead of singing to party, I was replacing it with for community. And it sounds just lamer than you would even think it would. And so you've got to fight for your right to community. And it kind of just tapers off the end of that sentence because you're like, well, that's not really cool. You got to fight for your right to community. If you got your Bibles, we believe in the Bible here at Elevation Church. We believe it's the God-inspired word. It's what shapes our lives. It's what reshapes attitudes and our character and points us back to Jesus. So I've based this whole message out of this scripture, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, and it says this. It says, a new commandment, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you are to love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. We are Jesus' disciples by the way we love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but what I see in 2015 is a world that is faster than it's ever been before. People are busier than they've ever been before. Do you agree with that? But there's this sense that you can be connected with someone who's halfway across the world that you might not even know through things like social media, Instagram, Facebook, and you're like, man, I'm so in their world. But there's this lacking sense of community. Do you agree with me? See, for me, I was born in 1985, so that makes me 30 this year. And I know for some of you right now, you're like, really? The reason I started growing a beard is so I would look older. And if you're new and you're like, I thought that was just a dirty smudge on his face, it's a beard. It's a real beard. And it's my beard. Get used to it. And born in 1985, I never grew up with this sense and this overarching need in my life for community. It wasn't like that was on my bucket list. I just grew up being like, whatever, I'll just find friends. And I'll be in life, doing life with people just naturally along the way. And sure enough, You attend school and you naturally just start to find friends who you do the journey with. Hey, and then when school finishes, you're still friends with them. You just don't see them every single day. And then as life goes on, you get a little bit older and you find yourself further and further down the track. And you might not even see those friends at all. And you find yourself in a dangerous place having no people in your life who really know the battles that you're facing. Now, even as a 30-year-old, as someone who's a pastor and in church, I have found myself in this place many times, in a dangerous life spiral of not having anyone that I'm in community with. You see, God created us for community. Do you believe that? He created us for community. In the beginning, before the beginning of creation, God was in community with himself, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were singing about that song just then, but we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, they were revolving around each other. The Father about the Son, the Spirit about the Father, all revolving in perfect love and perfect community. It says this in Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There we see two facets to who God is. Jump into the New Testament, John chapter 1, verse 1, and it says this: in the beginning was the Word. That word literally represents Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Right there we see the Trinity, the triune God, revolving around each other, all about each other in perfect harmony, perfect love, and perfect community. And then what God does in his grace — grace literally means a one-way gift of love — in his grace, he decides to create mankind. Why does he create us? So we can partake in the community of love that God experiences. So he creates us, and he invites us in. Genesis 1:27 says, so he created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for mankind to be alone. I will make for him a helper who is suitable for him. You were created — I want to encourage you this morning — you were created for community with God and with others. You're excited about that, I can tell. This is what community means. Community means a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. Now, as the church of Jesus Christ — and maybe you don't believe in Jesus this morning, that's totally cool, you still belong here — as the church, the reason why we gather is not because we all look the same. It's not because we're all the same age. It's not because we all do the same things in life. The reason why we gather is because of one person, and his name is Jesus. You see, I'm convinced, looking around right now, that if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be people sitting here today, and you would still be addicted to substances. And you would still be battling that addiction if Jesus didn't reveal himself in your situation. I believe there's people sitting here, and much like myself, have tried to fill the emptiness in life with relationship after relationship, going from one girl to another, to only come up empty and feeling like, man, like, there's got to be more to life than this. But because of Jesus, he intervened in my situation. I believe sitting before me would be people who you've tried to fill yourself with materialism. If I can just have more stuff, if I can just achieve more success, more goals in life, then I'll be satisfied. And then Jesus came into your empty searching, and he revealed himself to you. And because of Jesus, we now come together as the church in unity, which is an incredible thing. It's Jesus who saves us, and it's Jesus who sustains us. That's crazy. That's what it means to be the church. Because you see, generally in the world, people will get into groups that they have that they naturally are attracted to, or that they think the same way as. People will generally get into groups that they're naturally attracted to, or they think the same way as. You see, the church is actually quite different. The church is to be — the followers of Jesus Christ are to be quite different. Jesus brings us together with a variety of people with different backgrounds, different interests, different ages, different races, perspectives, options, and views, but we can all come together in this community of love called the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of Jesus. That's the reason why we gather. You see, Jesus says to his disciples here in John chapter 13, he says, hey, by the way you love each other is actually meant to represent the way I love you. And when you love like that, everyone's going to know that you're my disciples. Everyone's going to know that I'm real. Everyone's going to know that I've changed your life, that you believe in me by the way you love one another. There's a responsibility on us as Christians. There's a responsibility on us as the church. People are going to know who Christ is by the way we love. Kind of weighty, isn't it? It's kind of like, that's uncomfortable. You see, people aren't going to know that Jesus is real in your world simply because you say you go to church on Sundays. People are not going to know that Jesus has redeemed your life from sin and shame just because you confess to be a Christian. You know how people are going to see the grace of God evident in your world is by encountering your life of grace. Is by encountering a community of grace. There's a responsibility on the church. Martin Luther says it like this. He says, the world doesn't need a definition of Christianity as much as it needs a demonstration of Christianity. There's a responsibility on us as a church. And now I look and I'm like, I think we could fall as the church into a modern day spiral like this fast-paced world is going into just doing life together. It's quite challenging. And as I was preparing this message and as I was writing all this down, God was speaking to me. He's like, you need to ask yourself the tough questions, Lachlan. You see, because this world is more fast-paced and more connected than it's ever been before. And you will end up getting in conversations with Christ followers who will ask you some hard questions. And I've had people ask me these questions and you can't fake it. People have said, Lachlan, do you have friends in your life? And I can't simply show them a photo of what I'm about to show you and say, yeah, I have 751 friends, actually. That's my Instagram account. They're going to be like, they're on Instagram. Yeah, but they're friends. No, do you have people in your world who really know what you're going to and you're going through? You see, you can be in church and out of community. You can find yourself in church, attending church, and have no one in your world that really knows what's going on. Be in church, confessing to be a Christian, but don't have anyone in your world. So I believe we need to ask ourselves some of the hard questions this morning. I've been asking these, but if you're writing notes, please ask yourself, write this down and start to work on it and answer it in your own life. Do I have people who believe in me and who have God's best interests for my life? Do I have those kinds of people in my world who really know some of the darkness that I'm going through? Am I growing? Another question. Am I growing on this journey of faith towards Jesus with other people? Or am I doing it alone? See, there's a responsibility on us as Christ followers. Hebrews 10:24 says this. I love this scripture. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is that day? It's the return of Jesus Christ. Church and the disciples of Christ is meant to stir one another up to love and good works, not just to attend church on a Sunday. Not just to profess to being Christian. No, there's a responsibility on us as the Christ-focused community. Can I hear an amen? So I'm going to give you, in the moments that I have left, I'm going to share three things that if we see ourselves out of a Christ-centered community, we'll be lacking in our lives. And then I'm going to finish on what will happen in your life when you are focused into a Christ-centered community. So three things this morning that will a lack of community will leave us is isolated. Now you better believe it. There is an enemy and his name is Satan. And he has a whole bunch of demons and their sole purpose is to distract you from the call of God on your life. It's to distract you from following Jesus and putting your faith in Jesus. That's their purpose. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone that he can devour. A lack of community will see you isolated. And now, if I was the devil, I'm not, but if I was, the first person that I would go for, if I was trying to attack them and tempt them, would not be the people who are involved in a Christ-centered community revolving around each other, pointing each other to the goodness of God. The person that I would go for would be the person who's isolated, standing out alone by themselves. That's who I'd attack. The devil, he's seeking. He's roaming around seeking someone to devour. So you better believe that. But a lack of community will see you isolated. It's not a good place to be. I remember 8 years ago now, I was living at Chugan at the time, and I was surfing a really big swell out at Chugan with a couple of my friends. And it was really big. We were really far out the back, and I'm not sure if we were so far out that we were close to the shark nets or if the shark nets had literally been brought in by this big swell. But either way, we're about 50 meters from these shark nets. And there I am with two of my friends just enjoying the scenery. I mean, incredible, just loving life. And then something happened. Something happened, and I believe when you see the video I'm about to show, it's going to be heightened in your senses lately because of everything that's been happening. But watch this video, and this is the exact perspective that I saw. There I am, happily, just sitting there waiting for a wave. And a shark does that exact same jump in front of me. And now I've looked all for 8 years. I've looked for videos. I've looked for photos that so represents the image that I saw. And nothing is as close as that image where this shark just perfectly spears out of the water vertically, a few meters into the air and lands right in front of us. And I did what any other strong young man would do. I screamed like a little girl. Honestly, screamed. And we looked at each other and we were like, that was a shark. There might have been a few other words there, but that's what we said in essence. And we turn around and we just start paddling for our lives. And thank goodness this wave just starts to pick up and all three of us are paddling for this wave. And as we're paddling, two of us stand on and get to our feet. And I look across and I see my friend just drift off the back. And as I'm going down the face of this wave, all these thoughts just filled my mind. And all I could think was, you win some and you lose some. No, that's not what I thought. I'm not that evil, I promise. No, as I'm going down the face of this wave, I'm just like, oh my goodness. If there's to be a shark attack this day, my friend is now the perfect candidate. Did I turn around? Heck no. I'll ask him for forgiveness when he gets back to the beach because that's scary. So I get to the beach and I'm like, if there's going to be a shark attack, the perfect candidate is now my friend who's isolated, sitting out the back by himself. You see, that's exactly what it looks like when you're in a lack of community. You find yourself isolated. You find yourself alone, and the devil's seeking someone to devour. How do you keep yourself from being isolated? Man, you stay in the pack. You stay in community. I've never seen a Christian stronger in their journey of faith for removing themselves from a Christ-centered community. Never seen it. The first thing that's going to lack in your life, if you remove yourself from community, is you're going to be isolated. The second thing is you're going to be lacking love. See, love is formed when you're in relationship. Love is formed when an action is performed and someone's on the receiving end of that love and they're like, whoa, that was incredible. It's how it works with our relationship with God, and it's how it works with our relationship with people. You don't believe me? Scientists did a test on two monkeys. And they put one monkey in one cage and they put another monkey in another cage. And they wanted to see how these monkeys would respond to love. To one monkey, they showed all the love, all the care, and all the affection. To the other monkey, they just rejected it. They isolated it. They just showed it no love. This monkey over here, it flourished. Man, it was returning the affection. It was returning the love. It was so gentle and caring. This monkey over here actually ended up going physically insane and killed itself in the cage. That always gets more of a response than like saying, let's praise Jesus. All the animal activists are like, ooh. You see, I say that story, but I know that a human being has an eternal soul and an animal does not. So if an animal, a monkey, can respond to love like that, I just think, man, what happens if there's a lack of love in our lives? What ends up happening in our world when there is a lack of love? We're built to thrive on love. That's how God created us. The Bible says we're created in His image and God is love. So if there's a lack of love in our life, man, we're really going to feel it. And when you're isolated, when you're removed from a Christ-centered community, you are lacking the love that comes from encountering other people who are filled with the love of God. you'll be isolated and you'll be lacking love. The third thing is you'll be lacking vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18 says, without prophetic vision, the people perish. Now, I'm not saying that people who don't know Jesus and aren't in this community don't have vision, because people have some incredible vision out there. They're changing people's lives through their businesses and their inventions and whatever. But I just want to know, where is that vision leading them? Is it leading them towards Jesus, or is it leading them away from Jesus? This is what the original Greek word for prophetic means. It's the word prophetia. And it means the gift of enforcing the real truth. Let me read that scripture again. Without prophetic vision, without the real truth, people perish. You know, we need to understand that if you're following Jesus with your life is eternally secure in that relationship. But if you don't believe in Jesus and you're not following him and haven't surrendered your life in the love of him being your Lord and Savior, your life is going away from him for eternity. But when there's prophetic vision, Jesus references us in scripture to sheep. It's so encouraging, hey, because they're some of the dumbest animals on the planet. He references us to sheep, but I think about it in my life, and without the prophetic vision, without the real truth of who Jesus is, I find myself tending to wander. I find myself tending to deviate, but when I come back under the real truth of who Christ is, that's when my life makes sense. But if you find yourself out of that community, that Christ-centered community, you will be lacking vision. Why? Because you won't be reminded constantly that it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's him who saves you. It's him who sustains you. So I want us to ask ourselves the question this morning. Where is my vision leading me? Where's the direction of my life heading? Is it towards Jesus or is it away from him? A lack of community is going to see us isolated, going to see us lacking love, and going to see us lacking vision. But when I think about what Jesus is saying to his disciples in John 13, there's actually a responsibility on us as Christ followers. So I'm going to finish right now on the three things that happen when you find yourself in a Christ-centered community. And I'm just going to read this scripture. I love what the early church looks like in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47. It says this. Just picture yourself being in this community when we read it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing those proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That to me looks like a Christ-centered community. There's a love in that community that we are meant to represent God's love. That's our responsibility. So the first thing you will see happening in your life when you're in Christ-centered community is we are loved and we are accepted just as we are. Oh, I was excited about that when I thought of it, because I'm like, I know my life before I met Jesus. And I know my life before I was in this community called the church. And man, I was a mess. And if it wasn't for Jesus, my life would be on a different path, heading away from him, messed up for eternity. But because of him and because of the love I experienced when I walked into church for the very first time, something changed in my world. And all of a sudden I realized I am loved and I am accepted just as I am in my mess. And I just want to say this morning, that's exactly how it is at this community. If you'll find yourself still addicted to substances, you are loved and you are accepted. If you find yourself in a mess in your world where you're like, man, I've got to clean this up before anyone knows. No, you are loved and you are accepted just as you are. You don't have to tidy yourself up to come here. You can belong just as you are. And you don't even have to believe to belong here. You just come and belong just how you are. It says this in John chapter 1 verse 12. But to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Man, that's incredible. Simply, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. And looking before me right now are Christ followers. Maybe some aren't, but majority Christ followers. We are a family. You know what the church is meant to be? The church is meant to represent God's manifest grace on planet Earth. What do I mean by that? Well, manifest means visible. The church is meant to be the visible grace of God. When someone who doesn't believe in Jesus walks into this community, they are to walk out being like, oh my goodness, there is something different about that place. Oh my goodness, there's something different about that person who welcomed me at the door. Oh my gosh, that person who called me through the week, there's something different about them. You know what's going to happen when someone who doesn't know Christ encounters your life of grace? They're going to understand about Jesus and his grace. It's an incredible thing. And it doesn't matter who you are, you're loved and you're accepted when you're in a Christ-centered community. It's a beautiful thing. The second thing, when we find ourselves in this Jesus-focused, loving community, is our world is enlarged. I believe one of the biggest downfalls of removing yourself from community is your world becomes smaller and you become more introspective. It's like, it's all about me and it's my little world. But when you're in this community, all of a sudden your world is enlarged. You hear about things that are happening and revivals that are taking place around the world and churches. And just like the scripture I read before, you become a child of God. We're one big family of God. And all of a sudden, I understand I get to celebrate that fact that my world just got that much bigger. That much bigger. Now, every single week when I sit here and I see people make a decision to follow Jesus Christ in Elevation Church, I sit there and I'm like, man, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen, because I don't know their story, but now because of their story, my world just got that much bigger. Because of you, my world is enlarged. Was anyone stirred about the Quick Fit, the Besaw home that we shared earlier? You're going to have to give me a little bit more response than that. I'm sorry. I'm going to start doing push-ups, or I'm going to come and wrestle someone, because this is the church. We are to be passionate about what we believe and why we gather. But that home represents lives that are about to be transformed. You see, I don't know those mums and I don't know those little children that are going to come into those homes from abused relationships. I don't know them, but I sit there and I say, but one day I'm going to know about their story, and one day I'm going to see them on this trajectory towards Jesus and towards a hope and a future, and I'm going to be able to stand back and be like, if I wasn't in this community, I wouldn't have that opportunity. But because of the church and because of this community, our world is enlarged. Every second Wednesday morning at our Tweed property, we have something called Mums Hub, which is a ministry set up for mums and babies to just come and have community, because they can tend to be isolated a lot. And a couple of the girls down there run this ministry. And I just stand there sometimes. There's sometimes 60 mums, 90% of them are not from church. All with kids, one to two kids. It's chaos, utter chaos. But I sit there and I meet some of these mums and I hear their stories and I'm like, my world's now enlarged. My world has now gotten bigger because I'm a part of this community and this ministry is happening. With our kids' ministry happening right now, our youth happening on a Friday night, with the miracles that took place at Survivor Camp. Come on. Yeah. Miracles took place. Bodies were healed. I wouldn't know that, and I wouldn't get to experience that if I wasn't a part of this community. It's an incredible thing. Do you know the denomination that we're a part of called INC, International Network of Churches? Just in India alone, there are over 400,000 followers of Jesus Christ. You're a part of that. That's just in India. It's incredible. When you find yourself in Christ-centered community, you'll be loved and accepted just as you are. Your world will be enlarged. And the third and final thing is this, as the keys come up, you will be challenged. I didn't expect a cheer from that one, trust me, because when I was writing it, I was like, oh, this is a little bit awkward. You are going to be challenged. When you come under the Word of God, you will be challenged. When you read the Word of God, you will be challenged. It says this in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Does anyone read that and just be like, oh, that's intense? If your life and your character and your attitude needs a retune, that doesn't simply happen by just trying harder and doing more good things. You know that how that happens? By coming under the Word of God. When you come under the Word of God, you are challenged. You cannot simply hear the words of Jesus Christ and not leave a different person. You may reject them or you may believe in them, but you will be challenged to your core. When you find yourself in a Christ-centered community, you will come under the Word of God. You know what else happens? Your life will challenge someone else. Without even knowing it, there are people I'm looking at right now, and I know your story. And I know what's happening in your world. And I'm challenged. I know some of the circumstances that you face. I know some of the storms that you've had to ride through. And I sit there and I'm like, I'm so taken back because of your faith. You challenge me. The way you still believe in Jesus, some of you that I know. The way that you still look to Him and say, hey, it's not, no matter what happens in my life, I'm still going to follow Him. I sit there and go, my goodness, if that happened to me, I'm not sure what would happen. You challenge me, and without even knowing it, I dare say my life is challenging others. It says this in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. When we're in a Christ-centered community, we're sharpening one another. And you know what I pray? I pray that we would be a church that would challenge one another to fall more in love with Jesus, to look more to Jesus. And from that, our lives are going to be changed. And out of the overflow, together, we can do more for the kingdom of God. That's what happens when we challenge one another in this community. See, Jesus, He gives us the greatest mandate. The greatest mandate in the universe is to the church, is to Christ followers. He says this in Matthew 28, 19. He says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples. And when I read that, I'm like, oh man, it's a big world out there. That's kind of scary. There's a lot of people out there. And the church can often get this great commission confused with being a great suggestion. You see, Jesus, when He was giving this to us and His disciples, He wasn't sitting there being like, hey guys, do you think if you're not too busy and like work's not going to get in the way and your hobbies aren't going to take over what I've called you to, do you think if I'm at, what Jesus, what are you trying to say? Do you think you could get me some more followers? That's not how Jesus said it. Jesus says, go. Go therefore and make disciples. What does a disciple mean? It simply means a follower. You see, our job as this community of faith is not to save people, it's to serve people. That's our role. God does the saving, we do the serving. That's our responsibility. That's how I make disciples, by serving them. The best way to serve someone is to point them to Jesus Christ and say, He loves you no matter what's happened in your life, no matter the mess you find yourself in, He loves you just as you are. That is the greatest way. Can I cook someone a meal? Yes, and that's helpful. Can I mow their lawn if they're struggling? Yeah, that would be really nice. But the best way to help someone and to serve someone is to point them to Jesus and say, He's actually the answer. It's Him. It's not this physical building or Elevation Church or a pastor, it's Jesus. That's the one that'll change your life. And I am yet to find a better way to point someone to Jesus than to bring them into a Christ-centered community called the church. Because you see, your life is challenging someone. The Word of God is challenging the heart. And when you come under that, all of a sudden, God has that ability to draw His children to Himself and say, my son and my daughter, I am the one who created you. I love you. I've got a plan for your life. But as a church, this scripture becomes so much more real in John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you, you are to love one another just as I, Jesus, have loved you. And in this love, all people are going to know that you are my disciples. It's so incredible. People aren't going to know just because you attend church or just because you profess that you follow Jesus. No, people are going to encounter Christ because of your love. It's an incredible thing. Don't just attend church on a Sunday. Be the church. Be the church. Don't just rock up and have no one in your world. Get into a life group and start doing the journey with people. Come and talk to Amy after the service, please. Make a decision right now that I'm going to place myself in Christ-centered community, because in that place, I'm accepted and I'm loved. My world's enlarged and I'm going to be challenged to fall more in love with Jesus. It's an incredible thing. Would you close your eyes all across this place?